From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues these studies in the book of Judges, Dr. Cairns brings the closing portion of the second of three messages called Four Steps in Spiritual Warfare. The text is chapter 7, verses 1 through 7, in which God is preparing Gideon for battle against the Midianites. In the account of Gideon's fleece, we've seen the Lord's servant seeking to prove God before entering into the conflict. In the present context, we see God proving Gideon by reducing the huge army of Israelites to a mere 300 men. The various tests God administered showed that many of the men were fearful, while others thought only of their own needs and comfort. God used these tests to show Gideon that he must not trust in others or even in himself, but only in the Lord God of hosts. Nevertheless, God is looking for dedicated believers who will trust him and engage in the battle for truth. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of Four Steps in Spiritual Warfare. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Heavenly Wealth. The text is Psalm 84 and verse 11. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Many pleasing things the Lord may withhold, but no good thing. He is the best judge of what is good for us. Some things are assuredly good, and these we may have for the asking through Jesus Christ our Lord. Holiness is a good thing, and this he will work in us freely. Victory over evil tendencies, strong tempers, and evil habits he will gladly grant, and we ought not to remain without it. Full assurance he will bestow, and near communion with himself, and access into all truth, and boldness with prevalence at the mercy seat. If we have not these, it is from want of faith to receive, and not from any unwillingness of God to give. A calm, a heavenly frame, great patience, and fervent love, all these will he give to holy diligence. But note well that we must walk uprightly. There must be no cross purposes and crooked dealings, no hypocrisy nor deceit. If we walk foully, God cannot give us favors, for that would be a premium upon sin. The way of uprightness is the way of heavenly wealth, wealth so large as to include every good thing. What a promise to plead in prayer! Let us get to our knees.
Come, Jesus, give the God's grace, as a joy.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
Tonight to cry, Lord, fill me, though everybody else be dry and barren. Lord, purify me, that I will be clean from the filth of this evil age. Will you prove your God? You say, yes, preacher, I've come that far. What about this text? God proving you. The Lord never works with untried, untested equipment. The Lord wants you in the place tonight where you are divested of confidence in the flesh, where you have given up your pride. I think there's an awful lot of Christians who are not where they ought to be with God because of what an old Presbyterian preacher, Willie Nicholson, back in the 1920s, preaching in revival in Northern Ireland, used to call, and you can imagine this kind of language in a staid Presbyterian church, he used to call it dirty, rotten, stinking pride. You understand that kind of talk? A lot of people, and they say, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, but they're so chock full of self, so full of their self-opinions, so full of their self-love, so full of their self-lust, so full of their self-gratification, that they're useless in the service of God. Gotta be an emptying of self. A great Scottish preacher and teacher, Principal Rennie, once said, self, self, that greatest of all enemies of the work of Jesus Christ. How true. The Lord's stripping away hope in self, love of self, pride of self. The old preachers used to say that pride took different forms. Pride of race. Pride of race. Oh yes, we have it. And if you think you can justify it before God, you better think again. What are you that you didn't receive? What do you have that you didn't receive? Pride of race. Pride of face. So proud of your looks, and God could take them from you in a moment of time. Pride of place. Oh, how we get hung up on the little box we live in, the trappings that we have around us, the things that we have acquired. I'm not denigrating your right to have things, but I am saying when they fill us with pride to divide us from those who don't have the same place and the same things, and we can sit back and justify a hard heart and let the world go to hell because of our pride of things and place, we are in sin. The rottenest form of all is pride of grace. I'm not an Arminian. Well, I thank God I'm not an Arminian. I wouldn't like to be in the place of thinking that God has to ask a man's permission before he can do anything. I thank God I'm not an Arminian. But all this filthy pride that puffs out the chest and says, I am what some other man isn't. I know more theology. I have a different view. I'm in a better position. I've reached a higher plane. I've talked to pipsqueak fools who have never done anything for God, and they have seriously asked me, do you think John Wesley's in heaven or hell? I have to wonder, does any such man even begin to know God? I can only echo what John Wesley said when an equally great fool asked him, did he think that he would see Mr. Whitfield in heaven? And he said immediately, no, I don't think I'd see Mr. Whitfield in heaven. And the Arminian bigot thought he meant that Whitfield was in hell. And Mr. Wesley said, no, sir, Mr. Whitfield will be so near the throne as one of the greatest servants God ever had. And I so far back among the crowds that I doubt if I could even see him. tearing away of self. You ready for that? Are you really ready for that? You'll never serve God until that comes about. But of course, that tearing away of self is in order that we might be brought to the place where we are honestly in vital contact with our God, where our vision is not of the battle primarily, it's not of the enemy, it's not of ourselves, it's not of our abilities, it's not of our helpers, but our vision in the very first place is of our God. And we are so filled with the greatness of our Redeemer. We are so overwhelmed with the mightiness of the Christ who saved us and whose name we bear, that our faith is fixed in Him and our sights are fixed on Him and our desires all fixed on Him. And we are crying, "Thine be the glory, everlasting Son." When we get to that place, find that we have proved God and God has proved us. The battle lines are drawn in Christian work today. I've spoken of a generation lost, largely lost, in many parts of this country to the cause of Bible-believing truth. Lost through default, lost through folly, lost through quick fix evangelism, lost through putting on the band-aid of a quick decision instead of getting down to the radical surgery of regenerating grace. Another generation will soon be lost as well. The battle lines are drawn. The cause of Christ needs its Gideons. Aye, and listen, the cause of Christ needs the 300. Do you know the names of those 300 men? No. Only God knows them. They have melted into oblivion. You very rarely hear a preacher ever preach on the 300. It's always on Gideon. But God needs the 300 as much as He needs the Gideons. And as you go on in the chapter, through Gideon and the 300, the Lord worked on the rest of the 32,000 and then some. And He needed them as well. But He had a work to do before He could ever bless them or use them. The Lord needs you. Sounds strange, doesn't it? The Lord Jesus sent His disciples and He said, "Go to the crossroads. You'll find there the foal of an ass." The foal of an ass. What was the message? The Lord hath need of him. The God of heaven who could speak and the stars were created. The God of heaven who could have a million donkeys there had He wanted any time. The God of heaven sends and says, "I need that foal." That same God comes and He puts His hand in you. "I have need of you. I have need of you in my vineyard. I have need of you in my battleground. I have need of you to win souls, to sow the seed of the gospel, to take a stand against apostasy. I have need of you as a Gideon to go out against the Midianites and raise the standard of righteousness and truth in this land again. I have need of you. I have need of you in your home. I have need of you in your business. I have need of you in your neighborhood. I have need of you in your church. I have need of you in this state and across this great nation. I have need of you." Can you hear the call that comes from God tonight? Are you willing, by the grace of God, to prove God and have God prove you, so that with all on the altar of sacrifice, you say, "Lord, as Thou wilt, and when and where? Thy will be done." Let's bow our heads in prayer. eternal God and Father in heaven. Gideon's God, we call on thee tonight to work mightily in our hearts. Lord, speak in this meeting to those whose hearts are not right with God, to those whose religion is just that, without a living, vital, personal, heart-warming, life-changing experience of Christ. Speak to those tonight to whom Christ is a name, a doctrine, a theory, a theology, but not a living Redeemer. Oh God, our Father, we pray that Thou wilt bring the lost to Jesus. Look upon the wandering one. Look on foolish sheep that are going astray. Kick over every barrier and obstacle. They would burrow through everything that stands in their way to go out to get lost and perish. Lord Jesus, Thou didst lay down Thy life for the sheep. We pray that Thou wilt go and bring that lost one home tonight. See him, precious souls. Father in heaven, speak to Thy people. We earnestly want to prove Thee. And Lord, while it's sore in the flesh, we tremble at the prospect, we honestly recognize the need for God to prove us. Lord, stand with us in the testing. Lord, encourage and strengthen us in the hour of trial. But, oh God, bring us to depend upon our God, to hate the flesh and all of self, to love the Savior and be sold out to His will. Oh God, our Father, bring Thy people to the place of willing usefulness to God. The need is great. The hour is late. The urgency of the situation needs to be impressed upon us. Some of us are going to lose our families if we don't see them saved soon. Some of us will stand weeping over the graves of souls who have gone out from life to death to hell, and we've never seen them saved. Gracious God in heaven, in this hour of need, stir up us, Thy people, fully to follow our God. Father, give fruit. Part us with Thy very richest blessing. Let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. Bring revival to our hearts, our home, our church, and through us to our community, and spreading across to this nation. Lord, bring us to revival by the grace of God and the fullness of Thy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.